Welcome to the Real Estate Espresso Podcast, your morning shot of what's new in the world of real estate investing. I'm your host, Victor Menash. On today's show, we're talking about flooding. When it rains, you've got to think about where the water's going to go. We've all heard the advice of how to pitch your tent in a high location and avoid those low spots where water will flow in the event of a rainstorm. The same advice applies to construction, except construction itself can be a source of problems when it comes to stormwater management. Stormwater management is governed by a set of principles, that's to say the law of physics, and then further constrained by regulations from multiple jurisdictions. The basic principle behind most of the regulations is that Mother Nature was perfect in her design of our planet, and it's the alterations caused by humans that are responsible for messing things up. Rivers are supposed to take the runoff from the land as nature intended. You're not allowed to take water from the river, and you're not permitted to inject more water into the river than the river can handle without altering the characteristics of the river. The land is designed to absorb water from the sky, and that's how the water table in the ground gets replenished. If you cover over the land with buildings and pavement that doesn't absorb water, you are, by definition, creating a drainage problem. The excess water that would have been naturally absorbed into the soil has to go somewhere. Now, you can do the right thing from the perspective of construction and build your house on an elevated ground. The water will flow away from your house in the rainfall as you would expect it to. But if your neighbor is downhill from you, they could make the argument that the presence of your house and your paving is causing excessive runoff and therefore harming the neighbor by creating a flooding risk on their property. The city also designs their drainage systems to handle the runoff from the roads and all the surrounding properties. But in a heavy rainstorm, that system could be easily overwhelmed. When that happens, the resulting flooding could be both devastating and unpredictable. So to protect the stormwater management system from being overloaded, you might be required to design and implement a stormwater management solution on your property as a condition of your building permit. The city might require you to create a floodplain or a seepage bed. This is essentially a large field that provides a permeable surface to absorb the excess runoff. These fields take up a lot of space, and they're rarely used for that reason. The advantage is that most of the time it's an open field that can be used for recreational activities. The next most common approach is a stormwater detention pond. In fact, there's two different terms you'll hear that sound similar, but in fact are quite different. You might hear the term detention pond and retention pond. A detention pond allows you to empty the pond into the stormwater sewer or drainage canal, whereas a retention pond requires that you keep the water until it seeps into the ground or evaporates. Now, both these solutions can be costly. The size of detention pond is going to be determined based on a calculation of volume required to handle the runoff from either a 25-year storm event or maybe a 100-year storm event. Now, you might be thinking, if you need more volume, then you can just dig a deeper pond, and that's true up to a point. But you can't go deeper than the storm drain. Otherwise, any pond that's below the depth of the storm sewer will have no way to flow out of the pond unless you install active pumps. That means infrastructure that you will have to maintain forever, including multiple redundant pumps in case of a pump failure or pump gets damaged, plus backup power in the event of a power outage. Prices for this type of utility-grade pump system usually start around $250,000 and go up from there. So you definitely want the system to be gravity-fed. The most cumbersome and expensive form of detention pond is when you don't have space for a pond and you're forced to store the water underground. These tank-based systems are very expensive. Sometimes you'll place it under a parking lot in the case of surface parking. And even in a dense urban environment, when the entire property is covered by existing buildings, you might be required to install a stormwater cistern in new construction. Now, it might seem outrageous because the existing building that's been there for 100 years with no problems, and there's a new building that's going to replace the existing building, it's not going to shed any more water than the previous one. But modern building methods and building codes will require you to design and install a stormwater cistern to catch the water from the roof of the building and to discharge that water into the stormwater system at a controlled rate. It's the size of the pipe that connects to the sewer that will determine the rate of outflow from the cistern. Now, to give you a sense of scale, let's use a simple example. Let's imagine that the system has to handle a 2-inch rainfall, and the building has a rooftop of, say, half an acre, about 22,000 square feet. These are very realistic conditions in most parts of the country. I'm not even going to talk about handling the 8 to 12 inches of rainfall you might experience in hurricane conditions, and we won't even think about the 42 inches of rainfall from Hurricane Harvey. So 2 inches of rainfall and half an acre. That would require a cistern of 27,000 gallons. Now, such a tank would measure about 20 feet by 20 feet, 9 feet deep. It could be neatly tucked away in the underground parking garage and take up the space of two parked cars. Whenever we're designing a new project, stormwater management is one of the major constraints that we always consider early in the project. As you think about that, have an awesome rest of your day. Go make some great things happen. We'll talk to you again tomorrow.